My name's Michael Wilkins. I'm head of global carbon markets at Standard & Poor's Ratings.
At the moment, what's the state of play with carbon markets? How many of them are there and how do they work together?
The carbon markets are around $130 billion a year in terms of trading. Most of this is done through emission allowances. And the main emission trading scheme is based in Europe, the EU ETS. So that's really where all the action's happening now. But the EU ETS relies on the framework set up under Kyoto Protocol, whereby you can trade allowances from one country to another. And that's not just in Europe. So it is a global market in many respects. But it's only in Europe so far that we've seen a big sort of widely traded liquid market for allowances across a number of different countries under one system. The US has been trying to implement something, and it's been politically difficult. It's currently stalled at the Senate stage, and President Obama is still trying to get it through. But there are successes in other parts of the world. For example, New Zealand started its own scheme in June of this year. Australia has been sort of vacillating for some time, but the latest election results there show that it will probably be a cap and trade or emissions trading scheme starting sometime within the next 2 years. Japan is moving in the same direction, as is Korea. And more importantly is China. I mean, China has now started several small emission trading schemes in various provinces and has ambitions for a domestic countrywide scheme within the next 2 to 3 years. So we are seeing carbon markets develop and evolve right across the world, but the most active and most liquid is in Europe at the moment.
A few days ago, we interviewed the head of environment for British Airways, and he said that the aviation industry wants a global system. Yeah. Would a global system be necessary, or would the individual markets, much like the individual stock markets, would that be sufficient to meet emission standards and cuts that need to be made?
I think it would be preferable to have a global market where you can trade across different countries and price of carbon will be easily discovered. From price discovery is important for liquidity. But at the same time, you don't have to have a global market for companies to be able to manage their carbon exposure. It helps, but it's not absolutely necessary. What it is essentially is more efficient, because ultimately if your goal is to reduce global emissions of greenhouse gases, if you do have a global linked emissions trading scheme, then you increase the efficiency and the ability to reduce costs, and companies can find the most cheap way of buying allowances, and also mitigation takes place at the cheapest way. So it's the most efficient way for emissions trading and carbon markets to operate, but it's not absolutely necessary for there to be a market globally for there to be trading and for emissions to be reduced.
Now, you refer to the United States and the state of play of the debate there, and often critics of cap and trade refer to tax and trade.
Yeah.
How does a carbon market work to reduce emissions and also to help businesses do that and, as you point out, the most cost-effective way?
Well, the cap and trade scheme or an emissions trading scheme basically works by capping emissions across industry and then setting a price for allowances. So if you're a company that can't emit up above a certain level, it means that you have an incentive to reduce your pollutants or face a financial penalty. So there's a strong incentive to reduce emissions because you'll have a cost burden if you don't. And also there is an absolute cap on the amount of emissions that goes out into the atmosphere, as opposed to a carbon tax, which is the other sort of major form of reducing or incentivizing reduction in emissions. The problem with carbon tax is that there's no cap set. So, there is a financial penalty, but ultimately you can carry on polluting and just bear the cost. But if you have a cap and trade scheme, you're not allowed to carry on polluting, or you face an insurmountable penalty. So it's really a different approach. And ultimately, it also enables companies to find the most efficient way of reducing their emissions and abating their emissions. For example, if you're a company, say, in the US, and you need to reduce your carbon emissions, but carbon allowances are too expensive, you can go into the international market and buy an offset at a cheaper cost. So it's more efficient in that way as well, and it reduces the cost burden and enables a more global approach.
One final question. Today is the day where we're looking at finance at the IBM Summit at START. And what role does finance and financial management play in terms of sustainability?
Well, it's very important because ultimately most companies are driven by their financial strategy. And whether it's to raise funding, attract investors, or to raise debt, the financial strategy is very important. And if that financial strategy incorporates sustainability, whether it's because of a need to comply with regulation or with an emissions trading scheme, or whether it's because ultimately you find it important to attract your consumers because you have a greener image, or because you're basically managing your supply side and making sure that you get the most environmental suppliers in, because ultimately that will be a lower cost supply chain as well. All those aspects are interwoven with financial decisions. So I think finance is very, very important in the whole sustainability debate.